Good evening, everyone. My name's Chanel, and I have the privilege of reading from God's Word tonight. And we are reading from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31 to 39, and you can find that in the Pew Bibles on page 1133. So that's Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31 on page 1133. And I'm just going to pray for Owen before we start. Gracious Father, thank you so much for your unchanging word and how solid it is. Thank you that through Jesus Christ that nothing can separate us from you, Lord. We pray for Owen as he speaks tonight. We pray that his words can convict us and bring us a hope through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be at church with you. My name's Owen. I'm one of the trainees here. Keep your Bibles open to Romans 8. This is where we're going to be sticking for most of the service tonight. And I'm just going to add to Chanel's prayers. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you speak to us. We pray, help us to be people who don't just hear your word, but people that are changed by your power acting through it. Amen. Insecurity is written across all of human experience. How's that for a quote? This is a quote. It was one that I found earlier in the week. But we are fearful. We are anxious. We are worried about so many things. There was a famous artwork by Banksy. If you don't know Banksy, he's a street artist. He tags famous places with art. And this one's called Girl with Balloon, right? And I think it really captures this. The kind of insecurity that we feel in life. Here she is. She's holding this heart-shaped balloon and it's been ripped from her hand. In fact, it's just out of reach. If you've ever let a balloon go, you know that it's just going to disappear. You won't be able to get it again. Life is insecure. The caption next to this artwork, because Banksy did kind of tag next to it, said the line, "There is always hope." Yes, there's got to be hope. There's always hope. But in this kind of classic Banksy way, it was kind of meant to make you feel even more the insecurity of life. Because we hear something like that and we go, hang on, is there hope? Am I safe? So we kind of wish for it to be true, but we're not quite sure. Well, the passage that we come to tonight, it's really a reflection on the great hope that we have as Christians. I mean, that's why it starts with those words, what then shall we say in response to these things? It's a reflection on actually a lot of what's come before it in Romans. And it's a passage of hope, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? But it's hope not like the there is always hope passage. This is real. This is something that speaks into our fears. And what we're going to read tonight is a passage that actually gets thrown up against our fears. And it's a celebration of the hope we have. God's love, it can't be disrupted, taken away, or interfered with. So if you've got your Bibles there, we're going to step through this, but we're going to step through it with just a number of fears that this brings up. So I've got three different fears for you if you want to outline this on your notes. And the first one is that, well, fear number one is that sometimes you might think, is God actually for us? Maybe you might doubt whether he'll come through. So we experience this in various degrees in life. When life's just difficult, we might think maybe God isn't there. When things go pear-shaped, when we think about the future, how do I know that God is going to continue to look after me? Well, the answer is that God's love was guaranteed for us when he sent Jesus. Let's look in the passage. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So, you know, something that I knew about my parents growing up, right? My parents were generous people, but I knew that they were always there for me. And how did I know that? Well, it was kind of expressed in all the little things that they used to do. They were just in the business of sacrificing for me. So their time, their money, their energy, going and watching my boring sports games, making me sandwiches, giving me money so I could hang out with my friends. They proved their love through their generosity to me. Particularly when I was a bit older, I tried not to do this. I always felt bad about it. But yeah, I kind of knew that I could almost take advantage of that and sponge off them, right? Because I just knew that they were there for me. And God's generosity, kind of in a similar way to us, is assured because he's already been generous to us. He has given us Jesus. He's proved it. Let's read again verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? But I guess this isn't like my parents, right? My parents who are proving in the little things that they're there for me. You know, the little things make me go, okay, if I need them, they're going to be there for in the big things. Actually, you know, God's done it the other way around. God has already given up the most precious, the most valuable thing that he could ever give up for us. His son. I think sometimes we take this for granted. So, I'm going to read to you Matthew 17:5. So this is when Peter, James, and John go up onto the mountain with Jesus. And the mountain gets enveloped in cloud. And then they hear the very words of God. And what does God say? This is my son, my love. Listen to him. And this son, God gave him for us. He gave him up for us. So we don't need to know. We don't need to believe whether or not God will do anything for us because he already has. We've experienced the greatest sacrifice. So how would God not also graciously give us all things? But fear number two, right? God is there for us. He's guaranteed it. He's proved it. But have we mucked it up, right? Have we mucked it up? And the answer to this is that, well, God forgives us. So let's keep reading. The passage continues, verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? The who can be against us? This sounds like an accuser, right? Someone that might bring an accusation. I think that's what it means by charge. But this is kind of funny, right? Because it's someone that's coming against us, but the threat isn't really from the person that's opposing us at this point. This is an internal threat. Think of it like a courtroom, right? And this is courtroom language. God is the judge. We're brought in before God, and then someone stands up and points to us and goes, I charge Owen of being a lousy Christian, not worthy of your love. The power here isn't with the accuser. It's not with the person who's pointing the finger, because all they have to do is point the finger. The microscope is on my life. Maybe I am a lousy Christian. How could God love me? And there are many accusers in life that do this to us, right? Satan is called the accuser in the Bible. Other people, we find in Romans 2, earlier in the book, Paul talks about people that judge unfairly and even end up condemning themselves. But those kind of accusations can even come from within us, right? Am I good enough? Do I do enough? Do I meet God's standard? I'm sure you felt that. But the greatest assurance of the gospel isn't that you're good enough. It's that you're not good enough. Look at verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. See, no one can bring a legitimate charge against you or can condemn you because God justifies. You are not right before God, but God has made you right. And he does this through Jesus. That's why it says Jesus died. He took our sin. He buried it. Sin itself has been condemned instead of us. He was raised to life. We are joined with him in that we live with him. And not only that, this Jesus is at the right hand of God. He has power. He has authority. And what is he doing there? He is interceding for us. He is our advocate. So if you think back to that courtroom, right, we're before God, the finger points at us, Owen's a lousy Christian, God goes, yes, he is, but I love him anyway. That's why I sent Jesus. A verse that's quite dear to me is 1 John 3, verse 20. It's dear to me probably because I'm a pretty anxious kind of heart. I often feel guilty for different reasons. And 1 John 3:20 says, if our hearts condemn us, see what I mean by it can sometimes come within ourselves? If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. You see, if we trust Jesus, yeah, we're just finding it hard to believe that we're forgiven, believe that God would forgive us. Not even that stops God. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. You are free from all charge or guilt or condemnation. But fear number three, sometimes it's not the stuff from within. Sometimes it's the stuff from without when others oppose us. Could we be separated from God's love? What we find is that God's love is secure no matter what. Look down at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul here, I mean, it's almost like he's searching around for an answer, right? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? This is a pretty heavy list when we look at it, right? But I think what strikes me about this list is that Paul isn't just labeling the most extreme things that he could. He's bringing up a whole heap of things that he experienced as a follower of Jesus, speaking out about Jesus. This would have been all too common for Paul's life. Listen to an account that comes from the book of Acts, Acts 14. It's when Paul was in Lystra, right? So Paul goes to Lystra. He's telling people about Jesus there. And it says, some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. So they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. Trouble, hardship, persecution. I mean, the amazing part about that passage is Paul walks straight back into the city. Can you imagine the anxiety, the fear behind that? That maybe death would separate us from Christ. And look, this is a very hard-hitting list, right? But these things, this kind of insecurity, the kind of fear that we feel, I think applies to this too, right? We're fearful of all sorts of things. I know for me, a few years ago, I would get to a Sunday night and I would start getting this cold sweat because I knew that it was Monday the next morning. I felt terribly insecure about my job. I needed that job. But it had been a long road to get it. I'd had to work hard. I felt the pressure to keep it. I felt the pressure to prove myself. And I was fearful. And I guess I had a bit of control over it, right? I could work hard, and I did work hard. I wanted my boss to, know that I was committed and loyal. But I was trying to hold on to it. I was trying to keep myself safe. I was worried about it. There are lots of things that we worry about, and it all comes down to, well, am I going to be okay? And look, some of these things are in our control, but many of them aren't. Think of illness, something like loneliness. You might have a certain amount of power to avoid it, but it's not in your control. But even though they're not in your control, they're not out of God's control. God is the one that makes us safe because nothing can stop him. His love can't be interrupted, can't be destroyed or disturbed. The passage even tells us that we are more than conquerors. At the end of the quote that I read at the beginning of this sermon says, insecurity is written across all human experience. We, Christians, are not guaranteed immunity to temptation, trials, or tragedy, but we are promised victory over them. See, we are more than conquerors. We saw this last week, right? In God's wisdom, he works suffering together so that even though it might seem like it's against us, it works for us. Suffering makes us more like Jesus. In fact, there's another important reason why we know these things can't separate us from the love of Christ. That's because this is what Christ faced for you. Look down that list again. Trouble, hardship, persecution. Couldn't this be a description of Jesus' ministry? Jesus suffered for you. And those things aren't going to stop God's love for you. See what I mean by the little girl with the balloon? God's love isn't like that. ready to slip away, be snatched from us. It might float up and scrambling to try and keep it. It's not us clinging onto God, but God who clings onto us. We're told there is nothing, nothing that can stop him. But I guess, how does this work practically, right? I mean, tomorrow you're going to wake up, if you're fearful of your boss, it's still going to be the same, right? Well, might not be the exact same, but I think it's important to remember that God won't necessarily take away your suffering. This is our experience of life. And so I don't know what your week looks like. Maybe you're cruising through it. Maybe it's actually just going to be a really long and hard week ahead of you. There is one thing that I do know. Trust Jesus. There is nothing that can get in the way of his love for you. Death nor life, angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is worth celebrating. Please pray with me. Dear God, we feel the insecurity of life and we fear all sorts of things. Sometimes we do doubt whether or not we are safe, but we know that we are, that you love us. Nothing is too high nor too deep. Nothing is too powerful. Nothing can get in your way. Nothing can stop you from loving us in Jesus and what he has done for us. We thank you for loving us and that has been a great cost for you. But please help us to cling to that no matter what happens in life. Amen.